All right, thank you, Mr. Justin, for that word in season. Because what we see coming before us is the Babylonian systems. A lot about it in the book of Isaiah. I'm going to have to take a few months to cover that. Perhaps in the Sounds of Revival sessions. But it's a lot that is really unfolding before us. And so just want to remind you again, stay abreast, ladies and gentlemen. We have a track record of always being ahead of the curve. So whenever we come out with anything that might sound strange or new, you pay attention. In a few weeks, you're going to start hearing it in the news and so on. That has been our track record. So we just want to encourage you to stay focused on the true God. Stay focused on Christ and do as He directs. Want to welcome everybody once again, ladies and gentlemen. Certainly a privilege to be able to share as we go into the teaching session at this point in time. You know, this world is filled with stories of mankind developing and experiencing the fruit of what it is they have developed. Some good, most of it is bad. We have countries, groups of people get together, and they create systems, a lot of it being unjust, because it is of their own making. You have tribes developing. That's where we get the concept of tribalism. And so as the Bible prophesies, you're going to have nations against nations, because some folks are not going to be tolerant in having others imposing their viewpoint on them. Therefore, you have conflict. And the end result is there is going to be war. That's part of what has been prophesied to happen. But in this study today, ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you to stop and take a look around us. Look at the society. This means observing what has been going on, the culture that has really devolved, because it is evolving and it's going down in a negative way. It's collapsing. And so what we find then is that very soon we're going to reach the point where nobody can trust their neighbor. The system that we have created is going to be such that if Jesus has waited one more day, there will be no flesh saved alive on the earth. The system that we, supposedly with our intelligence and intellectuals among us, have developed is going to evolve to the point where no flesh would be saved alive if Jesus didn't come back. Just look at the society. You read about it in the news. You know, I'm talking about the written documents online or sometimes in print. You'll hear it on the radio. You'll hear it on television. It's all over YouTube and the different type of tubes that they have out there now. All over, what they call it, social media, the electronic media, all over. And they're promoting a system that the Bible classifies as the world, as opposed to God's way of doing things. So I want to encourage us today to listen, because good understanding gives favor. What kind of favor am I talking about? The favor of God. A good understanding of His way. Let's get to the point. His way gives favor. But the way of the transgressor is hard. Can somebody turn to Proverbs, the 13th chapter, and verse 15, and read that aloud for me, please. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15. Loud, so that every demon in hell can hear you, because I want this message to sink into our spirit, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, go ahead, please.
It says, good understanding wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard.
All right, Brother David, what do you have?
Proverbs 13, verse
15.
15 says, good judgment wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful leads to their destruction.
All right. And of course, the King James says, good understanding gives favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Now, what is a transgressor? It's the people who are living in sin. The people who are living contrary to the teachings of God. They're not doing things His way. And so the purpose of this message today is to encourage us to not only do things God's way, but to learn so much about it that we can encourage others for them to do things God's way. There's still a few nitwits out there who think they can outsmart God, you know. There's still a few. They just don't get it. The way of the transgressor is hard. There is no wisdom or counsel against God. None. And yet people still push on and press on and act like they got it all together. So I'm saying to you, when we finish today, it should be your resolve that you're going to do everything God's way. Are we doing some things? Yes, right. Sure we are. You wouldn't be alive if you haven't been. But my point is that you need to go further. And I want to encourage you to go further. When doing what? Doing things God's way. Are we together on that? Now, before we go any further, I want us to listen to these words, and then I want you to shout back at me exactly what I said. God's way is easy. Did you all get that? God's way is easy. Let's say it again, loud, that could mean it. God's way is easy. There are a lot of people out there who don't believe that it is, you know. You'd be surprised, you talk to them. They always have a bag of excuse why they can't do things God's way. And yet that's the simple and easy way. So I'm saying to you, God's way is easy. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, I want us to turn there. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and let's pick it up in verse 19. Because what is happening is that many people don't understand that they're reaping the result of the decisions they make. So here he says in verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Well, let's stop and think about that. What does that mean? Heaven and earth. All the beings in heaven. You can actually look at the material things too, but all the beings in heaven. And all the beings and the things on earth. He says that is proof. When you study it more in depth, you begin to realize it is proof. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. That's a record. That's a witness. That I've set before you life and death. What does he have before us? Life and death. If you walk in this world, you're either going to live or you're going to die. The things that you do determine how long you live. The things that you don't do determine how long you live also. He has set before us life and death. Another way of describing it is blessings and cursings. Therefore, he says, and just in case somebody out there can't get it, choose life, that both you and your children may live. He wants us to live. He wants us to prosper. So he said, just in case somebody not getting it, I'm telling you up front, choose life. Choose the blessings that both you and your children may live. He says, you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice. You're doing this because what? So that you can love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cleave unto him, for he is your life. You ain't going to make it without him. And the length of your days, that you may dwell upon the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, to give them. Let's back up and read it again. I skip a few lines. That you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cleave unto him, for he is your life, and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. He's made a promise to Israel, but by extension, that promise comes to us. And he's telling us, you're going to live where he set you, and you're going to live long if you obey him. If you obey him. I spoke to the brethren in Kenya today. They send you their greetings. Wonderful opportunity. They were 30 minutes late, but nevertheless I gave them the full, the same message I'm giving you now is the same message I gave them. God told me back in 2020, I want you to bring everybody up to the same level. Whenever I talk to them now, the same message I give them is the same message I give to you. And by the way, there is no translation. They have advanced to the point now where they are able to listen and understand English very well. Did they shout back just like I said earlier? This God's way is easy? Yes, I made them do it. They did it several times. And so what I am trying to convey to you, ladies and gentlemen, is that we must be embracing God to such an extent that we are going to continue to flow and overflow with his blessing. And here it is, he just tells us, point number one is that we must choose life. Now, there are a lot of people, you can tell they're choosing death from the very things they do, the way they carry themselves, the stuff they eat, the way they operate. They don't really want to live a long and productive life. But we have a different sign on us, don't we? We have a sign, servant of the Most High God. That's what we are. That's who we are. That's how we live. What's that expression they always talk about? This is how we roll. Well, that's how we roll. We are servant of the Most High God. And people need to understand that. So I am saying to you, a good understanding of God's way will give us favor with God so that we can continue to receive his blessings. Oh yes, everybody wants the blessing part. But they don't want to live the way he said they should live. Well, how in the world are they going to get it then? He can't, you know, God is a just God. He's fair. He's merciful. But he's upright. He will not condescend to the depravity that mankind want to go to, because that is Satan's way. And therefore, he can't bless you abundantly if you're not choosing to live his way. Now remember, you know, Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10, right? Remember that, the second clause? And so that's exactly what he's saying. I'm telling you now, we can't receive God's best if we don't choose to live God's way. But here it is, we're choosing, and he says, choose life. Because people don't realize, when they choose anything contrary to God's way, they're choosing death. Let's go to the book of Hosea. Chapter 4. We know these things. This is not new to us. We all understand these things. But it is good to refresh ourselves again and look at it. Let's go to zero in on verse 6. Then we're going to back up and go to verse 1. Verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What knowledge is he talking about? Knowledge of God. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall not be any priest to me. seeing you have forsaken the law of your God, that means the teachings of God, I will also forget your children. So not only you're going to mess up for you, but you're messing up for the children. Well, why are the kids so poor? Because their parents have been poor in the way they embrace God. That's how. Little kids have nothing to do with it. Some people decide to argue with God. You know, they're not getting it clear. Let's go to verse 1 of Hosea chapter 4. He says, hear the word of the Lord, you children. And you can put, at that time it was Israel, but you can say, you children of Atlanta, or Georgia, or America, or Jamaica, or England, or Russia. Hear the word of the Lord. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. That's it. He said, I don't like what I see. I don't like what I'm hearing, because they don't have the knowledge of God. You know, people nowadays are very arrogant. They're very foolish too, because they're very proud to tell people, well, I'm glad I don't read the Bible. Oh, really? Show how much sense you got. He says in verse 2, by swearing and lying, that's commonplace around us, don't it? By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touch blood. When they use that expression, blood touch blood, that means something is going to die. This is what the people are doing. Just look all over the place and it's common. Therefore, verse 3, shall the land mourn? Why is the land going to mourn? That's a metaphorical statement. Why is the land going to mourn? Because God is going to spank them big time. And when he finished with it, everybody's going to say, oh man, that was hard. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwell therein shall languish with the beast of the field, and with the fowls of heaven. Yes, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. See, God's going to say, "I listen, I'm tired of talking to you. I send my preachers. You curse them off, call them names, decide you ain't going to listen. You switch and go where you want to go and do what you want to do. And then you want my best? No. Well, I'm going to make sure that you don't have no fish to eat. There's going to be a little bit of food. You know, your teeth is going to be really clean because you ain't going to eat much. There's not the dirt to eat up. The toughness that is coming upon the earth. People not getting it. So he said, the land is going to mourn, and everyone that dwell in it is going to be languishing. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another. At that point now, you see, when he get this whole depraved, he say, all right, don't bother yourself. You know, we spend a lot of time encouraging one another, but they look at us and they laugh at us, think we're foolish. But that fellow told me some years ago, Marcus been fooled by the white man. Why? Because I believe the Bible. I let him know. See, where you going, you won't have no fire escape. It's going to be very hot. He's going to burn you up since you've been hard-headed. Well, that was the end of the conversation. Arrogant. So let no man strive nor reprove another, for that the people are like they that strive with the priest. What does that mean? They don't really want to hear what the ministry have to say. They don't want to hear the word of God. They always, well, this is how I think it should be, or this is what I believe. I am saying to you, our ways, like I explained to those folks, the people in America are sinning, the people in Canada are sinning, the people in Jamaica are sinning, the people in Russia are sinning, the people in China are sinning, so are the people in Kenya. Just look around, read the Bible and compare and you'll see. So we're not going to bother ourselves. At a certain point, God is going to say, well, that's it, we're going to turn it over to two witnesses. But right now, we're supposed to go full force, okay? Therefore, verse 5 says, shall you fall in the day? In other words, this is going to happen suddenly. Therefore, shall you fall in the day, and your prophet also shall fall with you. Them people who have been teaching all this fake news and fake gospel and won't get serious about the Bible, they're going to collapse too. And your prophet shall fall in the day, and you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. In other words, those who are there trying to protect you. I'm going to just destroy them too, because they're part of the problem. People are not serious about turning to God. That's why the country is like it is. We need to recognize that, and so we need to live our life accordingly. So what are we supposed to be doing again? We should strive to live our life by every word of God. In other words, life to live God's way. And I'm saying to you that God's way is easy. It is easy. One of the tricks of the devil is to come into the ministry and try to convince people that it's hard. No, it's not. God's way is easy. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. There are some instructions there that you and I will find very helpful. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 7 says, and you shall teach them, teach what? Teach them diligently unto your children. Well, that's verse 7, brother. Let's go to verse 6. These words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. So it's going to be a part of you so much that you inculcate it into your heart. In other words, you, when you get up, that's what you think about. When you walk, by the way, that's what you're thinking about all the time, in other words. And then you're going to teach them also. See, the children now need to be taught. You shall teach them diligently unto your children. Don't go be sloppy or half-heartedly or try to confuse them and turn them to fables. A lot of parents are doing that these days. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house. Turn off the cell phone, the TV sometimes. And talk about these things, the things of God. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way. Nowadays people drive. When you're driving down the street, talk about them to whoever is in the car with you. Well, guess what? Sometimes there's nobody in the car with me, so I talk to God about it. Lord, is that what you're talking about? Yeah, I ask him tough questions like that. Explain that to me again. Alright, sometimes he might give me little visions. And I'll see stuff, I think I've explained this before. Sometimes it's like black and white, just like looking at black and white TV. And I'll say to him, can you show me that again? And he does, just like that. And I'll just tell him, thank you. The first time he did that, man, I was amazed. But yeah, just show me that again. But I spend time, because you see, you have to be in sync with him. And he says, when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. In other words, all the time, this should be your focus. What is your focus? The Word of God. The Word of God. I know the electronic media have a lot of things now to distract us, but we have to be bold. Let's go to verse 1 of Deuteronomy chapter 6 so we get the full gist of it. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God command to teach you, that you might do them in the land when you go into possess it. So they gave them this instruction the very first time before they went into the promised land. Well, if you're hearing this the first time, it's just the same way you're getting it, just like they did. And verse 2 says, and you, that you might fear the Lord. What does that mean? Learn to respect him, that you might fear the Lord God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, and your son and your son's son, and all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. He says, I command you that you teach them to your children, and that the sons now get it so that they can teach the grandchildren. And then they teach the great-grandchildren, in other words, perpetuate this. This is why he gave us this. And he says, hear therefore, in other words, pay attention when you hear he said that. Hear therefore, oh, and you might put your name there, Marcus. And observe to do it. that it may be well with you. So you must do this. Don't neglect it. That it may be well with you. And that you may increase mightily. That means you're going to have offspring and they're going to multiply. And you're going to be firm. So the folks are going to be fearful of you. That you may increase mightily. As the Lord God of your fathers had promised you in the land that flows with milk and honey. Milk and honey is an expression in those days meaning that you have it made. Things are easy. Milk and honey. When we were growing up, they had an expression in Jamaica. For you, everything is flowing with milk and honey. It was a very common thing, especially among Rasta people. They used to talk about milk and honey. Well, that's what he was talking about here. That means things are going to run well with you. And he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, Lord. In other words, he's singular in purpose. He's one. He's focused. He means business. That's what that phrase there means. And you shall love the Lord your God, verse 5, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. So you're going to put out some energy and some effort to study his word and memorize it. Make sure it becomes a part of you so that if you go out there and you just touch something by mistake, you can just pray and say, Lord, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. You just keep going. I'll give you an example because it happened some years ago. And, I mean, there should have been some imprint on my forehead, but none. Didn't feel nothing, just kept going. So I am saying to you, that you're doing these things so that God can have your back, so to speak. And you shall love the Lord your God, verse 5 again, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Verse 6, and these words which I command you, so this was the instruction that we just read, then you're going to teach the same thing to the next generation or whoever you have the privilege of sharing it with. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, over time, you're going to find that you're going to change the way you do things. And things are going to flow with you. Even when you make mistakes, he's going to cover you and cause you to recover quickly. Verse 8. You shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontless between thy eyes, and you shall write them upon posts of your house and on your gates. In other words, you just get placards, and I remember the kids when they were younger, they print these things out and then they laminated it. You know, certain phrases that they want, everybody, I think, did all the Ten Commandments, and they put this on the house, and they just kind of like put a thumbtack and put it on the wall. As a reminder, you know what a vision board is, right? To keep you focused on whatever it is your vision is. They are there as a reminder the moment you see that, yes. What does that word over there say? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Over that side you see Ten Commandments. We got, you know, all over. What does this one say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. These are phrases, and you're going to put these things there to remind you because the enemy wants to distract you with other things. No, you trust in the Lord with all your heart. I'm saying, write these things down. Come up with some simple ones. And it doesn't have to be long. Doesn't have to be extravagant. The main thing is that you can read it because it is for you. It's going to help you stay focused. Now, I am saying that Israel must do all these things and we should teach it to the children. Now let's take it a step further, ladies and gentlemen, because in the book of Luke, the 18th chapter, I want us to turn to it. Luke chapter 18, we have some instructions here. And it starts in verse 15. He says, they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them, but his disciples you know, when they saw it, they the disciples turned him away. And so when these disciples saw it, they rebuked them. They rebuked the people who bring the children. Now, there were people who were observant. And they realized when that man touched things, it get blessed. When he touched people, the things change for them. So that's why they're bringing their children to him. Let him touch them. Things are going to be better for them. I remember years ago, we were going to a crusade, and this gentleman, he allowed us to carry one of his kids with him, but he said, don't let him go too close to the minister. And I'm thinking, what kind of reasoning is that? You want him to go in close to the minister so that the anointing can come on him. A lot of people got strange ways. I'm telling you, this world has some strange ways. But what they don't understand is that it's the way of the transgressor is hard, because a good understanding is going to give you favor. Anyway, back to the children. He bring them to children. When Jesus saw what they were doing, he said, stop. When Jesus called them unto him and said, verse 16, that's Luke 18, 16, allow the little children, that's the word suffer there. Somehow things have changed throughout the years and the way the language is used. Suffer now means, you know, at that time means allow. Suffer the little children to come unto me. By the way, somebody looked that up for me. See what they use. Oh, they use suffer now. What does the internet say about the meaning of the word suffer? It just dawned on me because of something else that just crossed my mind. Suffer. Because originally what he was talking about is to allow the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. But what does it say?
Experience or be subjected to something bad.
All right, so that's the way it is used now, talking about something bad. But this was a privilege originally in the English language. And so when you talk about universal adult suffrage, that's what caused me to look it up. In 1834, when they were talking about adult suffrage, it was allowing grown people to not be slaves anymore. You know, they allow them. They're free. All right, so as late as 1834, 38, those times, that word was meaning this, what it's used, or it's used in the Bible. Allow the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Now, a lot of people misunderstand that phrase, and they are trying to tell us that unless you come to Christ when you're a child, you cannot enter the kingdom. That's not what it is saying at all. He said those who come to him must have an attitude like a child. That's what it is talking about here. Of such, or like such, is, of is the preposition, like, similar. Of such is the kingdom of God. People who come willing to learn, willing to be trained, willing to be corrected so that they can do things the right way. That's what he's talking about. And he says, don't stop the children. He's using this as a teaching prop right here. Because of such is the kingdom of heaven. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. As a little child is a simile he's using here, not a metaphor. Simile, meaning that the pattern. Be willing to subject yourself to the master. Remember the parable of the sower? And they said, we won't have this man to rule over us. That's Jesus they're talking about. Well, here it is, I'm saying to you now that he wants us to come with that attitude. Allow them. And that is a teaching tool, because what I'm trying to explain to you is that the grown-ups also can come to God. never hear anything about God. I remember this gentleman was telling about in Mississippi. We're talking about here in the United States. Some guy went down there in this little town, and he went into the square, and he got up on a podium and started to tell people about Jesus. And grown folks, some of them in their 50s, come to him and say, if what you're saying is true about this man named Jesus, how come nobody never come and tell us about this before? That's the first time they're hearing about Jesus down there. If what you're saying is true, how come nobody come down here and tell us all this thing about there's going to be a kingdom of God on earth? As a matter of fact, a lot of people, even in churches, don't even know it's the kingdom of God is going to be on earth. They think it's going to be in heaven. But right there in Mississippi, now those folks were very good with their guns and things like that, but they still needed to hear. And so when that man got on there and started to tell them, they were so shocked. You expect me to believe that? If that is so, how come nobody never come down here before and tell us? Because their point is that somebody should have come and tell them long ago. Well, we're privileged to hear this thing from our children growing up. We praise God for that. Let's go to the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter. Because what I'm saying is, grown-ups need to hear this also. I know a lot of people like to use the expression, well, I'm grown. Well, you know something, Charlie? It's good that you admit that you're grown, but I'm telling you, there are things that you don't know. And in verse 28 of Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is giving an invitation. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. There are a lot of people out there. They're working their tail off. They're working hard. They want to do good. They like God's way. But it's not working out for them. And so he says, come unto me, all you that are who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The word rest there meaning that he's going to undergird whatever task that you have and try to show you a more excellent way. That's the point he's making. He's going to show you an easier way, in other words. Instead of you trying to fight against the devil, because you need him, you can't fight the devil. You can't fight them demons. First of all, you can't see them. And you need him and his angels to fight for you. So he says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you, meaning hook up to me. Yoke is the way you connect, like you connect two vehicles together. You use that chain or whatever those clamps are. You join them together so they don't separate easy. Well, that's the original word was yoke. And it said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. So he says, come and hook up with me and learn, because you're going to have to learn, or you're going to have to abandon the ways of this world that we have adopted for whatever reason or however we get it, and go to the Bible and get the new deal. That's what we want. And then you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's telling us it's easy. So that's what I was saying from the very beginning, trying to share it. God's way is easy. Just get hooked up with him. You would be surprised at the amount of people who are trying to tell you that the things that they're doing wrong that haven't been working for 10, 12, 13, 14 years, they're trying to tell you they're going to stick with it. You would be surprised at the amount of people you think by now they would have given up and realized, man, it's not working. It's somehow we just can't get no breakthrough. Oh, you can blame everybody else. You can blame whoever. You can blame the other people next door. You can blame the white man. You can blame the whatever. I am saying to you, all you need is Jesus. And when you get hold of him, you're going to get rest for your soul. Some time ago, in Jesus' ministry, let's go to Matthew chapter 19. A young man came to him and asked him a very simple but relevant question. They come to Jesus, starting in verse 16. It says, "Behold, one came and said unto him," speaking of Jesus, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" A lot of people want to know what it is you need to do that you can have eternal life. Well, there is the question. Well, look at Jesus' answer. Verse 17. He said unto him, "Hey, wait a minute. Why you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God." So the point here is that he's trying to explain, not focus on people, but focus on God. "There's none good but that one, that is God. But if you will enter into life," if you want eternal life, "keep the commandments." And yet the preachers go around telling people that you don't have to keep the commandments. They were nailed to the cross. You won't find that in any Bible. Jesus has made it clear right there. If you will enter into life, keep the commandments. Well, I'm glad he gives some examples here, because some people wouldn't get it. He said unto him, "Which of these, Jesus?" "Which one?" And Jesus said, "You shall do no murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." That's the summary there. And so he's given us a lot of half of the Ten Commandments. And he said, these are the things that you should be make a part of your life so that you can gain eternal life. Now, I know you always have those who like to argue and try to tell us, "Well, you can't earn it." That is true. It's a gift from God. But when you come to Jesus, then you will do these things. You will behave that way. Remember I said you have a sign on you, an invisible sign saying you're a child of God? Let me tell you something. Once you become a child of God, you are like a city that is up on a hill. You can't hide. People are going to be noticing you. God is going to make sure that they notice you. You're a walking display no matter where you go. You're a display. I don't care. I never seen all these people before. They're watching you. So there's something different about him. God is one who's causing them to look at my servant. Look at him. And when you start to talk and explain, they say, "Oh yeah, we knew. We knew, we could tell there was something different." And so what I'm saying here, ladies and gentlemen, is that this young man got it written right there in black and white, what you shall do to get eternal life. Just keep the commandments. Now you know where they are, right? Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Well, we don't have to turn there, really, come to think of it. Do I have a minute? I'll just read a few. Genesis, Exodus, then Leviticus. So Genesis chapter 20. God spoke all these words, saying, "I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me." That's the first commandment right there, verse 3 of Exodus chapter 20. "You shall not make unto you any graven image." That's the second commandment. And he goes on. "You shall not bow down to any of these things or worship these idols," and so on. And "you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." That's the third commandment. And verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Now, most people agree with the Ten Commandments except that fourth one. Oh, man, they got a problem with the fourth one. They got a problem. Oh, they love the others. Some people, yeah, they love the others. But the fourth one, oh, that's something different. Now, you see, because that's going to alter my timetables. It's going to alter the things that I do and so on. But the bottom line is this the Word of God? And you can read right through it. all the way up to verse 17, the whole thing. Exodus 20, all the way up to verse 17. But that's the Ten Commandments. And that's what Jesus was just saying. If you will enter into life, do these things. Why? Because they're a summary of the things that you and I should be engaged in life. I am saying to you that we should get it on our lips and tell people, because you see, folks don't get it. God's way is easy. Many people are working their tail off and they're not getting anywhere because they're doing things the hard way. They are transgressors, that's why. The way of the transgressor is hard. But good understanding tells you to use some wisdom, some humility, and do things God's way, and it's going to give you favor. How many of you need the favor of God? I know I do. I'm constantly asking Him for more. Yes, you can never bankrupt Him either. You know, in Psalm 111, let's turn to it. Psalm 111. We're going to come to a close shortly. But I want us to look at verse 10, last verse in that psalm. He says, the fear of the Lord, and the word fear again is what? Respect. The respect for God and His teachings, His way of doing things. A lot of people, they don't have a respect for Him. That's why people argue with you about the Sabbath. I know the Bible says this, but, well, I'm not going to take issues with you. You don't want to do stuff God's way, go on with your business. Because to me, it's very easy, it's very simple. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all they that do His commandments. Not just talk about it, but do it. Let's go back to Isaiah. I know it's not in my notes, but Isaiah 58 is just on my mind so much. Let me go ahead and touch on it. Because what I am saying is that enough people don't have a fear of God. That's what the problem is. They try to put themselves on the same level as Him. He's God, you're not. You're just a hunk of junk that He has given the bread of life. In chapter Isaiah chapter 56, it says in verse 13, not 56, 58. If you will, in Isaiah 58 verse 13, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, that's what you're going to call it, honorable. He says, if you will do that, and shall honor Him, not by what? By not doing your own stuff, focusing on Him. And honor Him, not doing your own ways, because God's ways is good, it's easy. And so you want to do stuff God's way, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. That is not the day to talk about the game or the score. Focus on God for a minute. You're going to find out. I am convinced that we need to spend more time. I know I do. And think about God some more. Meditate on what He's sharing with us. Because if you shall do these things, verse 14 is a promise, then shall you delight yourself in the Lord. You know, that's why some people, they don't want to do this, so they can't delight themselves in God. Oh yeah, they say they love Him, but it's superficial. You shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride up on the high places. He says, I am going to elevate you. How do you get up there? God put him up there. That's the bottom line. quite a few people come right here and ask me, how do you get all this land? Why you have more than everybody else? I just answer them, God gave it to me. That's it. And I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord have spoken it. He has promised that he's going to elevate you in this life. I'm not talking about when he comes back. In this life. So I'm saying to you, as we just read in Psalm, we read previously in Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where you start, with proper respect and reverence for God. That's the beginning. And a good understanding will come to you, because it comes to all they that do his commandments. His praises is going to endure forever. That ever, forever there means continually as well, the condition lasts. So that's what he's trying to convey to us. So what is the end result of us doing things God's way and beneficial? Well, let's just summarize it and go to Revelation chapter 20. That's the last scripture for the day. Revelation chapter 20. And find out clearly what it is he desires for you and I to be engaged in. Because when he would do this, then he has a responsibility, and God always keeps his deal, he always keeps his promises, and he's going to do something about it. So verse 1 of Revelation chapter 20 says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit. We would say, having the key to hell. So he came down from heaven, that's verse 1 of Revelation 20, and he had a great chain in his hand. Well, he have chain, there must be some reason. I'm going to chain something or somebody. Well, let's read verse 2. So he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is called the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So that means he has come down now and chain him up. He put a chain on him. And verse 3. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and put a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years are fulfilled. And after that, he's going to be loose for a little season. But listen what happened now. He's going to bound him for 1,000 years so he can't fool nobody else during that time. Well, what does that have to do with us? Look at verse 4. Next thing he said, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. So there were people sitting on those thrones. And judgment was given unto them, the people that were sitting on the throne. Judgment was ruled in their favor. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witnesses of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So what I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, is this. This is our destiny of those who are living God's way. They're going to reign with Christ for 1,000 years. In plain language, Satan is going to be bound, and by extension, who else get bound? Is demons. All of them going to be locked up. Who's going to replace them? Jesus is going to take over this hurt. He's going to be King of Kings over this hurt. And who is going to be replaced the demons? We are. That's what's going to happen. And verse 5 says, the rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years are finished. This is the first resurrection. So we just talked about the first resurrection a while ago. What happened? Those who live and do things God's way are going to be in the first resurrection. We are going to reign and rule with Christ for at least 1,000 years, and then we're going to do more. That's just the beginning. You can read, but another time we'll talk more about what else we're going to do. But I'm saying to you, this is what is going to happen. And during that time, the devil won't be able to fool anybody, because he's going to be locked up. during this time he can still fool people, and he fooled people in church. We just read earlier, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But you and I are pressing against the mark, or I mean his effort, aren't we? We're pressing forward. We're not gonna let him stop us. And therefore we are gonna get our breakthrough, and he's gonna give us, he's gonna rule in our favor, and we're gonna sit on those thrones. Yes. Elsewhere he tells us we're gonna sit on his throne, just like he sit on his father's throne. And so that's going to be the gist of it, ladies and gentlemen. So I just want to remind us, and let's say it together one more time, because we're going to have to tell this to other people because not everybody get it. God's way is easy. Let's say it one more time, a little louder. Let all the demons in hell hear us. God's way is easy. Very good. All right, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you in the next lesson.